Let's start with the chapter 6 about software evolution and to understand how this evolution is going to help in terms of new emerging technologies and software. So let's understand what are the emerging trends in this current software evolution. Now, software evolution is a term which refers to the process of developing software initially, then timely updating it for various reasons, that is to add new features or remove obsolete functionalities. So the evolution process includes fundamental activities of change analysis, release planning, system implementation, and releasing a system to customers. The cost and impact of these changes are assessed to see how much system is affected by the change and how much it might cost to implement a change. Now, if the proposed changes are accepted, a new release of the software system is planned. During release planning, all the product changes, that is fault, repair, adaptation, and new functionality are considered. Our decision is then made on which changes to implement is the next version of the system. The process of change implementation is an iteration of the development process where the revisions of the system are designed, implemented, and tested. The necessity of software evolution. Software evolution is necessary just because of the following reasons. Change in requirement with the time. Now, with the passage of time, the organization needs and modus operandi of working could substantially be changed. So, in this frequently changing time, the tools, which is basically the software that they are using, need to change for maximizing their performance. Second, environmental change. Now, as the working environment changes, the tools that enable us to work in that environment also changes proportionally same. It happens in the software world as the working environment changes, then the organization needs to reintroduce the old software with the updated features and functionality to adapt the new environment. Errors and bugs. Now, as the age of the deployed software within an organization increases, their preciseness or impeccability decrease and the efficiency to bear the increasing complexity workload also continually degrades. So in that case, it becomes necessary to avoid use of obsolete and aged software. Now, all such obsolete software need to undergo the evolution process in order to become robust as per the workload complexity of the current environment. So let's say, for example, you have got an old software which was functioning without any app based scenario which is currently being available for the mobile apps. Now, as soon as you want to introduce the mobile apps, with the mobile application you come across with different challenges in terms of calling some software routines, and that software routines, when you call, you need to get the data, re-engineer, reorient, and get the output. Now, if you see writing a code in Android in some functions, it is more easier in comparison to the other language software which is normally used by the desktop systems. So, on vis-a-vis, both have advantages and disadvantages. So, one piece of writing a code is taking a lengthy time, whereas another piece of writing a code on Android is taking less amount of software, less amount of coding, and it runs faster. So, if you want to integrate both these things, definitely you need to upgrade the software in the database or as well as into the desktop system. So such upgrade definitely gets into the limitations, and in order to overcome the limitations, you will have to adapt to the new standards and new technologies. And when you add a new technology, you keep the process same, but definitely it is going to enhance to your minds in terms of adding more features, making it more incorporation of mundane steps into more simplified outcome. And that is where your evolution starts emerging out. So what are the security risks? Now, using outdated software within an organization may lead you to a verge of various software-based cyber attacks and could expose your confidential data illegally associated with the software that is in use. So it becomes necessary to avoid such security breaches through regular assessment of security patches modules which are used within the software. Now, if the software isn't robust enough to bear the current occurring cyber attacks, it must be changed or updated. Now, there is one more practical situation which comes across the industry level, is that you are incorporating the updated software within your server client scenario. But what happens, now this is a real practical scenario. The companies are working for some of their principal vendors, and these principal vendors are nothing but the government agencies. Now, when they're working for government agencies, now these companies act as a client to these government agencies. So these government agencies, they pass on the tendering system in order to keep the hardware systems and software systems for monitoring purpose within their organization or within their infrastructure. So when they keep within their infrastructure, they also force their system in order to have the connectivity, so which is nothing but a something called as an internet or lease line connectivity has been issued to them to operate it. Now the challenge comes here is that when you upgrade a software, the actual principal vendors, they will never allow you to change the such kind of a infrastructure within their system. Now, why it does not allow them? The reason is that they have their own internal compliances and they are not ready to change. Now, when such a deadlock comes, the situation may arise, the cancellation of the contract. So, in such cases, since the tendering system was passed for, say, let's say, 5 years of contract for that particular company, so they have to work, they have to maintain the contract and they have to keep the business running. So in that case, they are not allowed to change the software and they are not allowed to change the platform. So what do you do? So this is one of the challenges. So in such challenging situations, you have to come out with some kind of a new innovation pattern. What is a new innovation pattern? It is nothing but either you provide them exposure onto the mobiles or you have the connectivity through a different firewall, which is basically given through a monitored and protected access and always enabled to them. Or you may give them the access through some kind of a remote system or remote servers. So that way your original infrastructure is always protected. And you have to just, what you have to do, you have to copy the data on daily basis and give them the access. So instead of giving them directly from your infrastructure, give them access from the tertiary infrastructure. Now this is the confidentiality you have to maintain. You cannot reveal this thing to their agencies. You being an agent, you cannot reveal this. But you have to find a way out. So these are some of the way outs you have to manage it. So these are some of the security risks which you might face with an outdated software. And definitely challenge yourself from the cyber attacks. So for having new functionalities and features in order to increase the performance and the faster data processing and other functionalities, an organization need to continuously evaluate the software throughout the life cycle so that the stakeholders and clients of the product would work efficiently. Now, laws used for software evolution, law of continuing change. Now, this law states that software system that represents some real world reality undergoes the continuous change or become progressively less useful in that environment. Law of increasing complexity, apart from continuing change and increasing complexity. What is that increasing complexity? As an evolving program changes, its structure becomes more complex. Unless effective, efforts are made to avoid such phenomena. So, these laws used for conservation of organization stability. Over the lifetime of program, the rate of development of that program is approximately constant and independent of resource devoted to system development. Now, these are some of the emerging trends in the software evolution. Let's see what is the law used for the software evolutions. Law of conservation of familiarity, law of large program evolution, and the law of continuing growth. So what does the law of conservation of familiarity? This law states that during the active lifetime of the program, changes made in the successive release are almost constant. Whereas the law of large program evolution, the program evolution is a self-regulating process. System attributes such as size, time between releases, and the number of reported errors is approximately invariant for each system release. Now let us learn about law of continuing growth. The functionality offered by system has to be continually increased to maintain the user satisfaction. So these are the laws which you need to adopt it. These are by definition, and you need to understand and take care in terms of changing, in terms of adopting, and in terms of ensuring that there is, it is properly regulated, and there is a business growth, and there is a not only return of investment, but the increase in the productivity cycle, increase in the production, and reducing the investment. So software testing, now let's more of what is the software testing. Now it is the one of the next phase after the completion of design and code construction. Now testing is an investigation. So when you test it, you investigate for faults. So testing is an investigation conducted to provide stakeholders with the information about quality of the product or service under test. Software testing also provides an objective, independent view of the software to allow the business to appreciate and understand the risk of software implementation. So software testing is necessary because mistakes are made by humans. So the testing is a must. So some mistakes are unimportant, but some of them are expensive or dangerous. So before dwelling into the realms of the testing, one needs to understand its importance and its need. So what are the testing myths? Software testing has its share of myths, just as in every other field, arising due to lack of authority, facts, evolving nature of the industry, and general flaws in the human logic. Though common sense tells that testing is a part of learning, it is being challenged by the myths. Some of the prevalent myths are, it's a manual process. Many professionals believe that manual testing is a simple set of step-by-step tasks that anyone can run through to check an expected output. Nothing can be further from the reality. So though automatic testing is necessary and possible, both manual and automatic testing goes hand in hand and complements each other. Now, automated testing is a form of testing that utilizes script to automatically run a set of procedure on the software under test to check which is a small part. Now, that the steps which are coded in the script work. Manual testing is more than just checking. The most useful and important tool when it comes to manual testing is the brain. Computer just cannot replicate this. So an automated script can do a lot of things, but still there are many things it cannot do. In order to produce the highest quality application, one should have a stronger manual testing element in place alongside an automated framework. So it's repetitive and boring task. So fresh graduates who are exposed to testing few hours in the software engineering course and who have no experience in industry believe that testing is a mindless and boring task. Testing can indeed be boring and a mundane, monotonous task if one is not doing it right. In reality, testing requires a creativity, alertness, and most importantly, a passion for quality. Like in every task, be it a web design, accounting, banking, or flying an aircraft, there are sometimes mundane tasks of repeating the nature, which one cannot exit from that. It's a repetitive and a boring task. Yes, it is. But a good tester usually finds creative ways to solve repetitive tasks. A good tester would look at testing as an information gathering activity done with the intent of exploring and discovering answers, not just flaws or bugs in the software to questions that nobody had asked before. So it's like a good tester will not take it as a problem. He will always look for the solutions, and he will always look for a creative solutions in order to make sure that there is some kind of a mundane tasks are into the automation phase. Let's see, testers are the second class citizens. That's why they require second class. This is something, another myth. Too many people assume that testing can't be a hard if a general user finds bugs all the time. Therefore, testers are second class citizens compared to the designers and developers. In fact, that is a totally unfair assessment, since testing is a complex craft which is not a cup of tea. for an average professional. According to Google's Patrick Copeland, which makes a great tester. So testing involves paperwork. Now this is another myth. So what is this? A general opinion about testing documentation is that only when a programmer or analyst has a free time, one should do a documentation for test cases, test plans, test status reports, bug report, test metrics, etc. So though documentation cannot be the objective of testing, it is a great habit to place all the data in a black and white and to update others about that as well. So it is when things go wrong, especially with the customers, bringing up mistakes which were due to missing information in the requirements, that one realizes the importance of documentation. Careful documentation can give an organization time, effort and money. Another myth is that there is no career growth in testing. Okay, so with the power and reach of the internet, customers have multiple options to explore before deciding a vendor for a product or applications. Gone are the days when users accept any product that is given out to them, irrespective of the quality. So there is an abundance of competing software and increasingly demanding users, which increases the demand for good software testers to ensure high quality. So these are dedicated institutions for training fresh engineers in testing domain only. So there are few IT organizations specializing and taking up testing related products. People choose testing as a pre-decided career path rather than stumbled upon or Hobson's choice. So people have made significant strides in taking the testing professionally and as a demanding career. So another myth that there is no career growth in testing, that looks like a myth again. Another myth is that there is no challenge in testing. So how does one define this challenge in testing? So ask any programmer the time that he or she will take to complete a simple login screen from design till working model. Now the requirement of a login screen are pretty standard and universal. 80% of programmers will exclude the testing time from their estimates. Now the assumption is that development is more challenging and time consuming. Reality is that testing can be difficult, time consuming and challenging, more than so coding. So how it is that creativity is essential to be applied when formulating test approaches. So when designing tests, writing test scripts, creating test data, and more importantly, putting themselves in the customer's shoes to stimulate the working conditions during the testing. A skilled tester is often an expert of the product or an application being tested. So programmers spend more of their time working on a very specific area, function or a component of the application, whereas a tester analyzes, understands how the entire system works from an end-to-end standpoint. So testers need to demonstrate their understanding of the product in a way that adds value to the product. So let's see what some verification validation says. The verification and validation are not the same things, although they are often confused. Bowen clarified the difference between them with a play on an English words as follows. Are we building the product right? It refers to the set of activities that ensure that software correctly implements a specific function. So this is a static method of verifying a design and code, and that's what we call a verification method. How is validation now? Are we building the right product? Validation refers to the different set of activities that ensure that software that has been built is traceable to customer requirement. Now this is a dynamic process for checking and testing the real product. So when you say try to trace to the digital customer, that means you are trying to validate it. Now validation is very much important, because what a software reads, it is going to store it, and when it is going to store it, it is going to manipulate it. So in that way you need to validate it, and if a correct validation is done, which is a dynamic process, you end up in getting the real product. So these are the types of testing. Now, based on whether the actual execution of software under evaluation is needed or not, there are two major categories of quality assurance activities: static testing and dynamic testing. Now, how does a static testing works? Static testing focuses on the range of methods that are used to determine or estimate software quality without reference to actual executions. It implies testing software without execution on a computer. Further, the static testing involves just examination, review and evaluation. So it's a process of reviewing the work product and is done using a checklist. Static testing helps weed out many errors, bugs at an early stage. Whereas further, static testing lays strict emphasis on consuming or conforming to specifications. Static testing also discovers dead codes, infinite loops, uninitialized and unused variables, standard violations. So it's one of the effective way in finding 30 to 70% of the errors. So when you say techniques in testing include code inspection, code review, peer review, desk checking, program review, etc., etc. So one of the simplest form of static testing is compiling. A compiler delivers error message when it finds syntax errors or other invalid operations but does not execute the code. So linking loader that links a set of modules into one executable program will fail unless it finds every variable and function referred to. There are two modules which are not executed. Here too, the modules are not executed. So next comes the code review. Now in the static testing, the code review for a model is carried out after the module is successfully compiled and all the syntax errors have been eliminated. Now, code review is an extremely code or cost effective strategies for reduction in coding and errors and to produce high quality code. Normally, two types of reviews are carried out on the code of the module. These two code review techniques are code inspection and code walkthrough. So how does a code walkthrough work? A code walkthrough is an informal code analysis technique. In this technique, after a module has been coded, successfully compiled, and all syntax errors are eliminated. So that happens through a walkthrough. So once the syntax errors are eliminated, a few members of the development team are given the code few days before the walkthrough, meeting to read and understand the code. Now, each member selects some test cases and stimulates execution of the code by hand. That is, tracing the execution through each statement and function execution. So that's called as a code walkthrough. Further, in this code walkthrough, the main objective of the walkthrough are discover the algorithm and logical errors in the code. The member note down their findings to discussions these in a walkthrough meeting where the coder of the module is present. Now next comes the code inspection. Now, it is a formal analysis of the program source code done by a team of developers and subject matter experts to find defects as defined by meeting computer system design. So in a contrast to code walkthrough, the aim of code inspection is to discover some common types of errors caused due to oversight and improper programming. In other words, during code inspection, the code is examined for the presence of certain kinds of errors. Then in addition to the commonly made errors, adherence to coding standards is also checked during code inspection. So it is a good practice to collect statistics regarding different types of errors commonly committed by the developers and identify the types of errors more frequently committed. Let's see how does a dynamic testing work after going through a static testing. The testing deals with the specific methods to ascertain software quality through an actual execution, that is with the real data and under real and or simulated conditions. Now the techniques in this area include synthesis of inputs, the use of structurally dictated testing procedures and the automation of testing environment generation. So the static and dynamic methods are inseparable but will be discussed separately under dynamic testing code is executed. as the name implies, it checks for a functional behavior of software system, which is memory usage, CPU usage, and overall performance of the system. So this tests the dynamic behavior of code. Dynamic testing is performed to confirm that the software product works in conformance with the business requirements. So this testing is also called validation testing. So in dynamic testing, the software must actually be compiled and run. It involves working with the software, giving input values, and checking if the output is an expected by executing specific test cases, which can be done manually or with the use of automated process. Further, dynamic testing is performed at all levels of testing, which is unit integration, system, and acceptance. And it can be either black or white box testing. The levels of testing, white box and black box testing, will be covered in subsequent sections. Thank you.